This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the message?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles, coming to you from an altitude of 5,280 feet, Mile High territory, with a guest that I'm super psyched for you to get to connect with. He's one of my heroes in chiropractic. And before I introduce him, I do want to say, make sure you have dialed in stone to be at Mile High, August 20th to 23rd, 2020. It's all 20s, easy to remember, the roaring 20s. It's going to be outstanding and helping focus chiropractors and their teams in the right direction for the principal and for their communities and for their lives. So without any further ado, I have wanted to have our guest on the Mile High Podcast forever. Dr. Troy Dukowitz is one of my heroes in chiropractic. I love the message that he shares. And I love that in his bio, we have nothing of the typical professional. I graduated from here in the area, but licensee trainer through Wake Up Warrior, founder Hall of Fame dad, I love that. And proud connected daddy and husband, and of course, internationally known speaker. Thank you for joining us on the Mile High Podcast, Dr. Troy.
Oh, thanks, brother. I actually, like, I'm starting to tear up. You're sitting there saying hero, hero. And, you know, I don't think of myself in that way. I think of myself as, you know, the dedicated dad. When I think of heroes, I think of my grandfather who fought in World War II. You know, those are like really powerful words. So I don't know why I'm sitting here getting emotional right away, but I'm humbled by that introduction. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And, you know, hey, it's the everyday heroes that are there with their family and helping others in practice and, you know, just doing things like that and living the type of person they are that, you know, I'll say the first time I met Dr. Troy, he may not remember this, but I remember it was being at CLA for Total Solution. And I had gone back, I'd been to Total Solution like a decade ago, and I went there just because I wanted to get spizzed up. And I was like, who is this guy speaking? Where's Pat? And where's and over. And I just love getting to connect with you. I just always remember that weekend.
So, that was a couple of years ago.
It was a lot of years ago.
That was many.
And I want to tell people, anytime you are somewhere that Dr. Troy is, make sure you go to the session he's doing because he's very focused on his family. And when he goes places, this is your chance to get to connect to him. Make sure you do that. Helping people to get to know you better, let's start with this. How did you find your way into chiropractic?
Oh, man, that's a lifetime ago, right? Like, at this point, it's like, it seems like a million years ago. It's interesting because I actually went to the University of Illinois and I was going to be a math teacher. And I remember sitting in math class one day thinking to myself, my God, I can't do this for the rest of my life. Like I was just overwhelmed and yet realized like that wasn't something I was passionate about. And so I actually switched majors, as many people do in college. I switched majors and ended up going into kinesiology. I knew I was interested in the body and I knew I still wanted to teach and how could I do that? And so they actually had a course where you got to go and like work under different professions to figure out what you wanted to do. And chiropractic had been something on my mind. I had gotten chiropractic as a kid. Didn't really understand what it was, but I'm sorry I'm going to say it this way, but it was so cool to like get your back popped as a kid. And mm-hmm. So I had no idea what chiropractic was, but I knew like it popped and it felt really good. And so that's just my reality, right? But man, how many people talk that way today where it's like they go get their back popped or adjusted? And it's like, oh my gosh, like it just makes me cringe. I actually said that. And I went and I didn't know if I could do it. I just didn't know. I didn't know what it took to be a chiropractor. And so I actually went and interviewed with a chiropractor in town. She told me some stories about her office. She told me about one particular patient who he couldn't turn his head. He had facial paralysis, was in a wheelchair. And after his like first 12 visits of care, she's doing a reevaluation on him and showing him his re-x-rays and all this, you know, great reevaluation procedures. And he was able to turn his head, look over at the window, and he saw an angel on the windowsill. And he looked at her and said, "You're my angel." Because he was now able to turn his head. The facial paralysis was almost gone and just tears streaming down everybody's eyes. Now, I wasn't even there for it. And I got tears in my eyes. I go home. I call my mom and dad right away and let them know, okay, I've got it figured out now. I've got it all figured out. I'm going to be a chiropractor for the rest of my life. And they, and they're, you know, all right, well, this is the second time you've changed your major. We'll see where it goes. But this one stuck. This one stuck. She actually hired me. I worked for her for, you know, 3 months as an intern. And then she hired me after that. I worked for her for the next 2 years until I went to chiropractic school, went back to work for her for another 2 years before I opened up my own office. So incredibly impactful moment. And it was, and it just goes to show you, like, because I didn't know what I didn't know. Like, I really thought chiropractic was just like, I thought it was back and neck pain. I thought it was, you know, you pop a few bones and all of a sudden you feel better. I had no idea what it was. My original chiropractor, and God bless him, God rest his soul. I don't know if he was maybe sharing the message and I just wasn't hearing it. I mean, I was a kid in, you know, junior high and high school. I don't know at that point in time, but I do know that that experience with him still opened up a door for me. I think this is so important and pivotal for chiropractors. Like, maybe you're having a hard time sharing the message, but remember, whatever you're sharing, it can open a door for somebody at some level. And so he opened a door for me that got me interested in chiropractic in the first place. And then she really showed me the impact of what chiropractic could do. It took me graduating from chiropractic school and going to TS to figure out what chiropractic actually was. Because that's the first time I ever heard of the Green Books, believe it or not. Was actually at Total Solution in 1998 as I'm hiking with a group of docs and they're talking about the Green Books and I'm walking behind them going, "What are these Green Books you speak of?" And I was so embarrassed. I never said a word to them because I was like, I'm so embarrassed. I have no idea what a Green Book is. This is years out of chiropractic school. So like there's these different pieces of life that they all came together to help me to figure this out and understand what it is and then be on this journey with you and everybody else.
And isn't that how it so often is in life in general? And that being said, the rest is history.
Yeah.
However, one of the things that I so value and see in you and the things that you share in social media and the times I've seen you share at programs, okay, that I'd like to have you share with our audience is that area of getting the personal life and the business life together to both support each other. And you know, you talked to me a little bit off recording about, you know, when you have kids come into your life, how it shifts all of that and having that experience of being on the road. I have a very shared life experience with that of having, okay, I've been on the road a lot and I have to shift how I live my life for that. What can you share with our audience to help them thrive in that area of their life?
Okay. So, you know, there's phases, right? I mean, when I graduated and then I was an associate and then I went and opened my own office, like I was in this phase of my, and I said this for years, my first baby was my practice. Mm-hmm. Like that was it. So I knew there was a couple of things that I wanted in my life. I worked out every single day, sometimes 2 and 3 times a day. So I wanted to make sure I had great health. I wanted to make sure that I was having a lot of fun in whatever I did. So I went out with my friends all the time on the weekends. And I wanted to make sure that my business was flourishing. Like that was it. Now, the problem with that is I was actually out of balance. And I use that term very loosely. I think more right. So harmony, you're trying to create harmony in life. But so I was out of harmony in my life because my relationships weren't that strong. If I was in a relationship with a girl, like that wasn't really that strong because my business was my priority. And so that phase of my life, it was all about business. And then all of a sudden I start realizing, oh my gosh, my relationship with my family, my parents, my brother, like that wasn't really as strong as it could have been. So I was actually living, and I look at, you know, a couple different categories of life. If I look at 4 categories, my health, my relationships, my spirituality, my business, I was probably living 2 out of the 4 dimensions. So I was still living a life that was essentially out of harmony or out of balance. I was killing it in business. I was killing it in my health. But there were other areas that were still suffering, which also showed me years later why I felt empty inside. I would sit at the end of the day. I'll never forget the first time I broke, and I'm not a visits guy, so I apologize. I'm so sorry. I'm going to say it one time. I'm not going to say any volume again. I'll never forget the first time I hit 300 visits a week. I went home, and nothing happened. Nobody called me. Nobody celebrated with me. Nobody told me how awesome I was. Nobody told me that I was a great chiropractor. Nothing happened. Next level, nothing happened. So here I am sitting there. I'm supposed to be ecstatic and on top of the world because I just did something that was really, really cool, and yet nobody cared. And then I remember laying on the floor one day and thinking this, and sitting on my couch one day and thinking this, and this was, is this as good as it gets? Because I realized my life was out of balance or harmony, whichever word we want to use here. And so as time would then move on, I look at we had our first son. This is, Danny, what you and I were talking about was, you know, we had Wyatt, my oldest. He's 8 years old right now. And I'll never forget that first year because I was traveling all the time. And it seemed like every other week I was on the road. I was going somewhere. And from a stage, I would say, this is a part of my purpose. And my wife supports the purpose and the bigger vision. And Wyatt will know when he grows up that this is for him. And after that, I'm hearing it. And I'm like, that sounds really good. And if you're in an audience, you're like, that sounds really good. But then I get home and it's like, but I just missed out on 3 days with my family. Mm-hmm. And then if I left another week, I missed out another 3 days. And then, so I miss out on like 9 to 10 to 11 days of a month, almost a half of month of family time. Like, wow, this doesn't seem right. It didn't feel right. And I start realizing like Wyatt doesn't know. What he'll know is that daddy wasn't home. That's mm-hmm. what he will start to know. Where's daddy going again? And so it didn't sit well with me. So I had pseudo balance early on, and then I had to find a way to create different harmony in my life and but still be able to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish. So number one is clarity. I see this all the time with doctors. They don't have any clarity. I want to build a big practice. Okay, great. So what is the big practice going to do for your life? What are you going to do? Oh, no, it's going to help save the world. Well, you can't help save the world if you need saving. Right? Like, it's so important. So I have to have clarity of what I want this practice to look like. I have clarity of what I want me to look like, my health, my spirituality, my relationships. And so that's why we talk about body being balanced in business. And we say, imagine having those three areas first, your health in a very strong place. And Danny, no one knows this better than you because you've had your challenges, right? So, I mean, I'm speaking in the choir, but it's like, I've got to have my health in a very strong place. I have to have my spirituality, and I'm not here to put beliefs on anybody or whatever. Mine is, I have a connection with God and I have a connection with self, and that I'm meditating every single day. I'm on like 3 years straight now. I'm not missing a day of meditation because I have to sit down and I have to get calm and I have to get connected to me. And then after I get connected to me, I can have this deeper connection with the Holy Spirit, and I get a deeper connection with the people around me. This is me starting my day. It doesn't have to be you or anyone else. And then my relationship with my wife and my kids, that I make sure that I'm connecting with them every single morning, that they become the priority. They aren't secondary. It's not business first and then my family. It's me first, family, and then my business. And when I was able to put those things in this linear formation and realize that how I show up is going to be directly influenced by them, right? Like, if I show up as the best version of me, then I am now going to influence them to a different level. My kids want to do the things that I do in the morning because they see me get up and work out. They see me doing the affirmations. They hear all these things that I'm doing. They want to be a part of it because I'm leading from that place. And then my wife is a part of it. And then she can take that with her to the office. And then we have this synergy within our family unit that we are strong and tight regardless of what else happens in the world. Period. That's all before we go to work. So we're going to work as this person who's coming from a place of high power, high energy. Imagine that, going into the office every day from a place of high power, high energy. And I've taken care of all the priorities that I needed to take care of first. Priorities. I have clarity. I have priorities. Now I go to the office and I can serve at a higher level because I'm not leaving anything behind. I'm not feeling bad about not connecting with my kids this morning. I'm not feeling bad because I raised my voice at my wife this morning. I'm not feeling bad because I slept in an extra 2 hours and got zero movement this morning. I'm feeling good because I did everything I could to show up as the best version of me possible. And that's what I'm now bringing to the world so I can have an impact in the world. I don't know if that answers your question, but
no, I love it. And this is such vital stuff. So many people will go for the shiny object of what's the magic thing? Will it get me another 50 new patients?
Right.
But not really say, do I have a sustainable business and do I have a sustainable life? And what are the systems to do that? And that really, as an essence in my mind, comes from a place of lack rather than, you know, reaching for more. And you said something, that pain moment that you talk about, I live that. One of the most significant pains is not reaching a goal, but another sometimes even more painful pain is reaching the goal and not getting what you think you're going to get emotionally out of it, right? And I had that myself. We were going up 100 visits, we went from 200 to 100 visits more each year for like 5 years. And then we were just under a goal. And I had this feeling like, oh, well, next year we'll grow another 100 visits. And it was like, didn't mean anything to me.
Yep.
I was like, well, was that all there is? Why am I going to do that? What do I get out of it? And I felt like an emptiness.
Yep.
And you know, there's very important lessons to there to really put your, you know, get your values in a good order and put the energy into the right, you know, into all your values as compared to one of them more, have them out of sync. So now with that, you're very passionate professionally about our profession, okay, as a whole, and some of what we see in our profession. What do you see currently about chiropractic that, let's start out with the not so fun, but the area that you don't like or that pains you relative to you see people coming out of school and the and where the state of the profession is?
How long do we have on this interview? I get disappointed. I remember Larry Marks saying what feels like 1,000 years ago that we're the only profession that circles the wagons and fires inward.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't changed. I mean, there's clicks. Chiropractic is filled with clicks. There's clicks over here. There's a click over here. There's a click over here. And unfortunately the clicks don't get on the same page. It's like, it's so crazy because people are still bashing each other for how they adjust. And there's only one way to adjust. And I'm like, man, that's, you know, like what you do and working with Don, I got adjusted by Donnie back in Vegas a few years ago and I got off the table and I was like, most amazing feeling I've ever had in my life. And I smiled for 30 minutes. My wife was like, do you know you're still smiling, don't you? I'm like, yeah, I know, I can't stop it. I'm just like, my face is like this and I can't, like, it was the craziest thing. Like, so, it's just such amazing, you know, an amazing experience for me. It's like, I want more of that. Like, I want more of that in my life. And still even to this day, like, man, I wish we had somebody around here at the Practice Network. It'd be so cool to be able to go get this done. And like, there's so many amazing techniques in our profession, but there's people out there moralizing techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. And then there's so many great opportunities in our profession, but people get pissed off because they're like, oh, I'm getting sold around every corner. No, you make a choice to buy something. Let's be very clear. If somebody has a product to sell, then they should sell it. If it brings value into your life, then they should be selling it. And you could say no. So it's like, but what do they want to do? Like, oh, so-and-so is selling this again. This person's selling this again. And it's like, there's so much of this war. And here's what sucks about it. It's all subluxation-based chiropractors. Like, that's what floors me. So you've got this faction over here who want to get drugs in the profession. And I believe in my heart of hearts that they are laughing their asses off at us. Because they're like, look at these fools. We're together. We think philosophy is a farce. We think that we need to advance the profession and start prescribing medication. We understand some things that we want to do and we're on the same page. Those fools understand and talk subluxation, but they can't even get along. They want to moralize and they want to bash each other. It's like, go ahead and keep doing it because we're going to keep moving in and we're going to do everything we can to take you over.
You know, and I'll tell you, you may not know this about me, but a lot of people do. The Beastie Boys are my favorite band, right? And they have an album, Ill Communication, and that really is code for subluxation.
Yeah.
Subluxation is ill communication in the body. And,
love it.
You know, subluxation-centered chiropractors have very ill communication with each other. They throw rocks at each other, you know, versus like stop throwing rocks and love each other a little bit more and say, you know, you're cervical, I'm full spine, but hey, we have the same mission rather than, Yes. You know, we need each other because you only adjust the Atlas and you adjust full spot, you know.
Or even, and even I did this, it was probably 4 weeks, it was probably around 4 weeks ago. I'm not sure. It might've been 4 or 5 weeks ago. And I did a post on basically like your favorite way to explain chiropractic. And lo and behold, somebody comes flying in and starts telling people how they're like wrongly explaining it. It's like, no, if I have a way of explaining it to my patients, then I'm going to explain it that way because it's important that they get it. This isn't a seminar where we're here research and we all get to go, wow, that's amazing. No, how can I translate this information so that the patients understand it? I'll never forget, it was probably 2001 or 2000. I'm doing an on-purpose interview with Patrick and Christopher, right? Patrick DenTempo, Christopher Kent. And we were talking about the garden hose theory. And I'm like, and even back then, like people cringe when you bring up garden hose. But Christopher looked at me and he's just like, yeah, but that's what people understand. Like if that's what it takes for a patient to understand and have like, just give them a foundational level of understanding of chiropractic, why wouldn't you? If a cell phone helps somebody to have a better understanding about chiropractic on a foundational level, why wouldn't I share it with them that way? They don't, like at this point, they're not going to understand the neurology behind everything. They're not going to understand dysautonomia. They're not going to understand those big words that we want to go to seminars and throw out there and make us look really smart and like we understand everything. They're going to understand things that are given to them on a basic level. And why not start giving them foundational things to build upon? And this particular doc goes on and he's like bashing people for how they're explaining chiropractic. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So now we're bashing for adjustments. Now we're bashing for groups that you might be a part of. And now we're bashing for the way that you're explaining chiropractic. Like, how are we going to ever move forward if we can't just pat each other on the back and say, that's an interesting way of looking at it, or what a wonderful concept, or what a wonderful way of explaining it, and that works for your patients, what's their typical response? How, right? And then I can take from that, and I can now use that example with my patients. I don't have to bash somebody because they're being vulnerable enough to share something on social media and Facebook.
Yep, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Otherwise, we're not going to make the impact that we need to make. Now, I know one of your favorite topics is retention. Mm-hmm. And it's mine too. We teach something about, you know, forming a lifetime wellness practice, and that has to do with retaining people.
Right.
So we want people in care for a lifetime and lead with that. What are some secrets to retention? I know you have a great resource on this. Retentionmistakes.com, and we'll put that in the notes for the podcast. What are some secrets to retention, especially since, you know, we see that the average number of visits people have are something like 12, may even be less.
Yeah, that number has, I think, the highest, and you probably know this as well. I think the highest in the last 15 years that I've heard. Okay, this is just what we've heard, so we know it's probably not even right. Is up to like 17. I believe 17 is the highest that I've heard in the last 20 years. 17. And 12 is like, between 17 and 12 has been like average, right? Which is mind blowing, which tells all of us, like, here's reality, folks. You want the reality? That tells all of us that we are running pain-based practices. Like, and I know, look, yeah, your PVA might be this and my PVA might be, but on average, that's what it's telling us for the profession. Right. Is that we're running pain-based profession. Retention Secrets is the program. Retention Mistakes is actually, I put together a document. So you go to retentionmistakes.com and it's 10 mistakes that are killing your retention. And so it's just a document I put together free for chiropractors to go read and hopefully start diving into them. I put in there some of the concepts of neurocommunication or neuromarketing and just the importance of how we're connecting our message to people. And you look at what's so important with retention, okay? And years ago, I put together a program, again, inspired by Larry Markson. He's inspired a lot in my life, called the Running a Disney-Style Practice. And that was the service model, right? So it's like, if we can have amazing service, we know that from an experiential side, the experience that somebody has in your practice, that is going to help to increase retention. Even if they leave, guess where they're coming back to? They're coming back to you. Right? We provide an amazing experience, they're coming back. So we have experience that we're providing, and then we have education. What are we doing to educate people? And so one of the key things that I'm going to share this one, because this is one that's really created a huge impact for people, which is identifying the red apple. And so as I do this in seminars, I'll have everybody sit there. So unless you're driving right now listening to this, don't participate. But you actually close your eyes and you imagine a red apple. And most people, it's very, very clear. They can see the red apple with a stem and two leaves, or one leaf or no stem, maybe a little hole where there's a worm coming out of it. Like, everybody has been able to imagine that red apple. Now I want you to go ahead and I want you to imagine, and I want you to just, and I typically do this, I'll say, you know, give me, what is chiropractic? What does chiropractic mean to you? And what's amazing to me is that chiropractors, when you ask that question, you know what they typically do? They sit on their hands. Isn't that amazing? So you could have 400 people in a room and you say, okay, I need somebody to get, what is chiropractic? Somebody comes up to you and you want to tell them what chiropractic is. What do you say? And all of a sudden it's crickets. Like, okay, can somebody here tell me what you tell somebody when they ask you what you do or what chiropractic is? And here you go. I help to restore optimum function. I help you to reach your highest potential. I help sick people to get well, right? All the bromides we've heard for years. And I say, okay, now I want you to imagine being a patient. And when they close their eyes, can they actually envision what that is? Like the red apple.
Right.
And if we're honest, they can't. Optimum function. Well, what makes you think I'm not functioning properly in the first place? I saw somebody post the other day when they talked to parents about their kids getting adjusted. Oh, I just tell them we're going to help. Don't you want your kids to reach their highest potential? I'm going, but if my kid is healthy, I already think he's reached his highest potential. Walker's been getting, he's now 19 months old. Walker's 19 months old. And so if I'm the average parent out there and I say, well, he hasn't had to go to the doctor, he hasn't had any problems besides breaking his leg, I would say that he has reached a highest potential. So now why do I need to go to a chiropractor?
Right.
Right? There's no red apple there. There's zero. So if we can draw a red apple for people, give them a vision of what's possible in living through chiropractic, all of a sudden they can start to understand what it is that we do. So better energy, better focus, better sleep. Like, what are the things that are lacking in your life? And they will tell you, because most, oh, I'm so stressed, I don't sleep at night. Would you be surprised if I told you that there's so many people in the first 30 days notice that their sleep significantly improves? And the next step is their energy. All of a sudden, that mom or dad can go, oh my God, that would be amazing. You're telling me chiropractic does that? And I know, because people, there's the naysayers out there, right? The naysayers go, oh, you shouldn't be talking about symptoms. You shouldn't be talking about results. But what do people want in the first place? They want results. What can it do for them? Okay, we can optimize the function of your nervous system. It's going to help you to live a healthier, happier, more vibrant life. Okay, what does that mean? What does that actually mean to the average person out there? So identify their red apple. You do this in a day one, day two. You identify their red apple. You talk about it as you're doing your patient education. Make sure you're drawing pictures and images and helping to draw them in to better understand chiropractic. So we increase their certainty. And that's the overall target of, when I look at communications, my overall target is, how can I increase their certainty in chiropractic? Not mine. I don't need more certainty in chiropractic. I already get it. Which means I don't have to walk in and explain to him the Krebs cycle. I don't have to talk to him about the brachial plexus. I don't have to talk to him about any of the disses that we have in chiropractic. I need to talk to them about the impact of a properly functioning nerve system and some of the things that we see that happen that are completely normal when you're functioning properly. Here, now, here's what that is. Here's my red apple. So that would be one.
Love it. Love it. And you know, one of the things that you do so well with communication is helping people have tangible things that they can connect with. We heard something you shared when you spoke at Sherman Lyceum. Yep. You're probably going to remember this as I say it, which is our team. I said, you have to go to Dr. Troy's session. And they took away some things you shared about communicating at screenings that I thought were so much fun. And I don't want to spoil the surprise. Can you share those two things?
No, you totally can. And we said, and we say like anywhere. It could be at a screening. It could be in your office. Because I think, if I remember correctly, and you'll tell me if I'm right or wrong, we were talking about like at Halloween, we will have clients get pumpkins. And they'll basically have patients hold the pumpkins out in front of them, right? And say, which one's easier to do? Hold it out here or out here? Well, guess what happens when your head starts to translate forward, and we know that it increases, I believe it's like for every inch, it's like another 8 pounds or something like that, right? That it starts to increase as your head goes forward. That's the pressure that you're putting on the spine. And I think what your team did is they did watermelons, didn't they? Because it was in the summertime.
It was watermelons. I was one. Yep.
Okay. Now I remember that one. I don't remember the other one, but I do remember I was sharing pumpkins. And by the way, folks, if you think that you don't have enough time to do this in your practice, you're wrong. Because the idea is to get your CAs involved. I love that you brought up that, and his CAs were there. I remember them. They were writing like copious notes. It was insane. Like they probably could have gotten up and done the whole talk afterwards because of how much they were writing. But you want your CAs involved in this process too. It's not just the doctors educating. And so it's also an understanding that if you have a clear, focused objective for your visits, then you're going to notice that your visits actually get, they're going to actually be faster. Mm-hmm. You want to say it that way, or quicker, because they're going to be more efficient and they're going to be more impactful. Because too many docs have too much filler space, filler time. They think if they talk more, then there's some way somehow creating more of a deeper connection with their patients. As opposed to if we have focused time, we have kind of this way that we want to do things. We walk into the room and we're organized, then we're going to be more efficient with our time. And we're going to be able to hit key points, like having them hold a pumpkin out in front of them to do something that takes 15 to 20 seconds to educate them on.
Awesome. Well, actually, we had the watermelon they got from you. They also got the glow sticks and the bananas from you.
Oh, how could I forget the glow sticks? I remember that too.
Yep. But this is it. It's what you talk about, which is creativity, having creativity with your communication so it can be fun, but bring your staff into that so they don't think they're reciting some quote you told them to do, right? So they're engaged and they feel empowered. People's staff love being empowered that they're more than just a reception person, right?
And Danny, think about this. Most staff were hired under the pretense that there was this great vision that you had for your community. And then they start working and like the vision is probably still there and talked about, but for many offices, it's not really pursued. And the way to pursue it is to empower your team enough to get them involved in this process. If you have CAs who are on fire and they can share the message, like have a CA do a healthcare class. Have a CA, you know, who can actually, if you wanted to, they could do all the education at the front and your reception area if you needed them to. They'd be capable of it. And so what we recommend, and I'm going to tell you this, what we recommend is that you have an actual communication CA. We call it CCA. And the communication CA basically at the beginning of your week sits there with your tip of the week and says, here's what we're educating on this week. And it's their job to explain it. And then anyone else you have on the team, they have to share what they just heard or what they just learned. So now you're creating a dialogue within your team meeting about a focused topic that we want to talk about this week. And then you bring it up throughout the course of the week. How are people relating to this? Are they understanding? Are we drawing red apples for them? Are we hitting key points? Are they looking at us dazed and confused like they don't understand what the hell we're saying? Like you start to have follow-ups on this through the week and everybody gets sharper at being able to share the message. And the more we work on it, we become sharper and we become more efficient. It takes less time.
Awesome. I just absolutely love it. And that's so important. Another thing that I see when I'm thinking about the things that when I see Dr. Troy, the things that I think of relative to you, which is your big force or big communication around implementation. Like we have so much information. We can just look at the books behind me. How many books I have of things to do and things people have told me to do, but then where's the action behind it? So how do we help people implement what they've learned?
You know what? This is cool because we're going to go back to an original word that we used, which was clarity. What do I want in the first place? And it's so easy, especially on Facebook. It's so easy to hear somebody talk about something. Oh my gosh, I need to learn more about that. And then somebody else brings something up. Oh my gosh, am I missing something? I need to go learn how to do this thing too. And there's so much information out there. And I've been saying this for years that you don't need more information. You need more implementation. And so it's really a matter of a lot of people right now just trusting themselves. Trust that they know what they need to do. And many people, I've heard people say that before, like, oh, I know I need to do. And then here's that worst part of that. I just need to do it. And that's where they get stuck. So if we can all agree that like, wow, what if I just took the next 3 months and said, I don't need more information. I just need to implement. I look at all the seminars I went to this last year. I went to Mile High. What have I implemented at Mile High? What have I not implemented that I said I was going to do? I'm going to take just that one program. I'm going to take Mile High and I'm going to go for the next 3 months and I'm going to focus on what I had in my notes for Mile High that I think is relevant to me hitting the goals that I have in my practice. So now I have to have clarity, right? I have to have that clarity. I'm going to write it down. Okay, what are the steps for me to do these things? Then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to put those things into a, I am a scheduler. I taught myself how to schedule some 19 years ago because I realized I had to stop running off my heels. I had to stop like just taking things as they came on. And I knew I wouldn't be able to do it. Larry Markson said that I was a bull in a china shop. And I started to realize he's right. So I had to create some level of organization in my life. So one day I went and bought a planner at like Office Depot. And I started to literally write out a schedule, a plan of attack for every single week so I can make sure that I was working on things that mattered. So huge here. Work on things that mattered. You've heard it before. Things that are going to move the needle. And so I would put this schedule together and I would make sure that I was putting these things in there. So we're talking about implementing and I just pulled out my notebook from Mile High and I said, okay, wow, here's the 10 things that I said I was going to do. I've only done one. So I am going to commit to the top two and I'm going to have those top two done in the next 60 days. Okay. What are the action steps for those top two? I'm going to write down all those action steps for the top two. Then I'm going to look at my schedule and I'm going to put it into my schedule. And now I just have to follow the plan. Now, a schedule is not always perfect. Anybody who has kids knows this. Like, if you have a plan to get out of the house at 9 and you get out at 9:45. Like, it happens. But a schedule, if you follow the schedule, though, you will get your stuff done. Yeah, you're going to have to tweak things once in a while, exceptions to the rule. But if you follow the schedule, you get to the end of the week and you're like, wow, I can feel that I'm closer. I can see that I'm closer. I am experiencing that I'm closer to getting that target that I want to hit. And so now, and I do this every Sunday morning. Every day, at the end of every day, I review. I made a journal for this. I review at the end of every single day. Here's my victories. Here's my challenges. Here's my lesson learned. Here's my focus for tomorrow. Here's the obstacles that could come up tomorrow. And here's my solution for those obstacles. Every single day at the end of the day, I do this. Then I look at my schedule and I make sure that it flows with what needs to be done. Did I find that I have to course correct? I pull it out of my journal. I put it into my schedule and I follow the schedule every single day. At the end of the week, I sit down and I do what's called a reflect and project. I reflect on last week. And I project where I'm going to go this week. And I put this all in my schedule. And I can look at my schedule. I sit back and look at it and go, oh, that's going to move. That's going to move this week, right? Because what I put in there are my priorities. Folks, what's in my schedule? What's in my schedule is me, me first. I get up in the morning. I do my morning success ritual. It's called the core four. I then work out. I then, at that time, kids are usually up. So I spend time with my kids. I spend time with my wife. If they're not up, I actually start doing tasks that I have planned for the day. And I start working until they get up. And when they get up, now it's time to connect with family. If it's my turn to take the kids to school and I get to take them, I take them to school. Then I sit down at my desk. Boom, schedule is back up. Boom, get to work. And you start rolling. And you follow the plan. This means making your life and your priorities an urgency that you want to get them done because you know they're going to move the needle and impact everything that you do. Unfortunately, many people out there are distracted. They're not clear on what it is that they want, and they allow other people's lives to take them over. Stephen Covey talks about the four quadrants of the time matrix and urgent and important, not important. And many people have this urgency. You ever get that phone call like, dude, can you come help me? We're moving tomorrow. Like, you've known about this for 4 months and you're calling me now? Well, I need help. Can you come help me? Right? Somebody else has a fire to put out and too many people want to go save them and put out their fire. Then what does it do in your own life? It significantly decreases the chances of you hitting your targets and your goals because you want to go out and save everybody else. But in essence, you have to be a leader. One of my favorite quotes, you are a leader, not a savior. So what would happen if you just started leading by total example? It doesn't mean you're not going to give assistance to somebody. It doesn't mean you're not going to support people. It doesn't mean you're not going to help people, but it starts to become something that you're willing to say no more to others and yes to yourself. Because when you say yes to yourself, you're actually saying yes to others.
And here's so awesome about this. And I know you know this. I want the people that are our audience to listen, that are listening to this to know this. People focus on building a practice more than they focus on building a life. Yep. And the intentionality around the things that Troy is talking about are vital and create a sustainable practice. Instead of going for the shiny object syndrome, whether it be a great and really valuable and awesome shiny object, are you working on or putting energy to, right, the things that are most important and having intention around them? Because otherwise, practice can be very, you know, it's just reaching for the next shiny object. And it's the new, like you said, marketing tool that someone's selling you. And it may be an awesome marketing tool, maybe something you need to do. But there's basics that you have to do first.
Yep. There's a lot. I mean, there is. There's a lot of great stuff out there, right? And there's a ton. But even before I'm going to purchase something, I'm going to go, okay, from a clarity standpoint, what does this have to do with my overall vision right now?
Right.
There's, and you know this, there's a lot of people out there that because they're living in scarcity, they're looking for the next best one-hit wonder that's going to give them like, I just need, oh, if I buy this, it's going to change everything.
Yep. And that's where I want to say, I love it. Wake up, Kyra. It's like, this is why people wake up, right? And by the way, that's, you can connect more with Dr. Troy at wakeupkyra.com. But that's it. That's why I love the message is people have to wake up to being conscious and intentional about these things, and bring that kind of higher level thought to their life and to their practice, because that door is to the way that door brings much more abundance than other things. Yep. So thank you so much. Is there any last thing that you'd like to share with our audience before we sign off?
You know what? Like an hour's worth of, I want to go deeper and I want to like teach people how to schedule. So if you want to learn how to schedule, go to actually, I know this can be confusing, but go to commitandgo.com. I have a free course there on scheduling and productivity. Like I am a time hack person. I love to look for ways to time hack and energy hack. My schedule is all about energy management. There's a book out there called Power of Full Engagement. And that's what it's all about is energy management, not time management. I've just married the two of them together. I want so bad for people to be productive. I want so bad for people to like focus on the task at hand that's going to move the needle now, not because it's somebody else's vision, but because it's yours and it's what you want to work on. It's what you're passionate about. And if you just trust yourself, I mean, that's probably the final message, like just trust yourself. You have all the tools that you need. You literally do. You out there right now, you have all the tools that you need to create success in your life in all these domains that I've talked about today. And if it's not me to support you on that journey, if you feel like you need support, then there's somebody else out there that you are going to completely click with that can help support you on the journey. Don't be so proud that you feel like you can't go ask somebody for help. I have multiple coaches in my life, not just one, multiple coaches. And I've made these investments over the years because I want to keep expanding. I want to keep growing and I want to be able to teach and I want to be able to teach things based on my experience of what I've done and the things that I've dove in on and the investments that I've made. And so be willing to push yourself to that level, to ask for support, to stay focused on what it is that you want. Hell, the last 45 days of 2019 can be mind-blowing if you do just what I talked. For those of you who went to Mile High, if you just do what I talked about with Mile High and you go back and you pull out your notes, you say, what did I commit to at that program? Have I done it? Have I not done it? And you actually finish one or two or three of those tasks, I can all but guarantee you there will be a significant shift in your life and in your business. I don't even know what you wrote down, but I know it will shift you in the next 45 days if you can make that one commitment and put that at the forefront of your life for the next 45 days.
And I'll tell you, similarly to what I teach people, like this time of year is a great time to do that, right? Not January, yep. You've got your resolutions, yep. But now where you're focusing on some of the things that are part of the holiday season, right? As you're starting to focus more on family and all that, is like have some time edged out to do that, right? It's a great time to do that. Repurpose before you're at that point of like, oh, now these are the magical resolutions I'm going to have.
Yeah. And that's because that's all based on shiny things.
Right.
It's all based on shiny things. It's like, wow, that sounds really good. I think I want to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
We just had a boot camp a month and a half ago. We did all of our 2020 planning in October.
There you go. Yeah.
Ready to go.
Thank you so much for all you do for chiropractic in the world and chiropractors and their teams to help them bring, get more clarity in their vision. I'm going to put all the links of the things that we talked about, the commit and go, the retention, so that you guys can, you know, if you're driving, don't cause any subluxation. Right. So send the notes. And thank you so much for all that you do, Dr. Troy. Super appreciate you and chiropractic needs you.
Thank you. And I'm glad that God decided to keep you around with us for a while, because I know you have a lot of work to do, but I appreciate you and I honor you. And it's just an incredible honor to be here. So thank you.
Thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing all of you at Mile High 2020 Vision, www.milehighcarregistration.com. And August 20th to 23rd, we look forward to seeing you there. Rise up with us so we can rise up chiropractic and keep changing spines and lives and minds with chiropractic.